Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Spawn Daily episode. Today, we're going to be talking about Spawn number 81. We had a huge issue last issue with Spawn taking revenge, I suppose you'd say, for all of the homeless, the people he feels most connected with, the people he feels are under his protection. They were killed by the Exterminator Killer, as it come to find out. She was known, and it was somebody that we had seen before, somebody that Sam had gone on a date with. And so it was really interesting. But then at the end, a bit of a cliffhanger as we were shown that perhaps she wasn't acting of her own free will. Perhaps Spawn has killed an innocent person. So what's that all about? What are going to be the ramifications? We're gonna talk about that in this next issue today. So just a quick reminder of what we're doing, everybody, on Spawn Daily. We review and go over the goings on of one issue of the main Spawn series, or perhaps several issues of a mini series or an ancillary series to Spawn. We started out doing just the main series of Spawn, wanting to read every issue to get caught up to modern time, but it became quickly very apparent that we should read everything when it comes to Spawn. Because a lot of the things that happen in the other series inform and give more context to the characters and the events that happen in the main series. So we switched over to doing everything, which means it's going to take longer than the end of the year to get this done. I am planning on hopefully releasing several episodes a day if I can get ahead. But life conspires against that constantly because I do have a full-time, more than full-time day job. And it's hard enough doing one episode a day, right? Let alone doing multiple. So we'll see if we can make that happen. But in the meantime, definitely enjoying reading this, and sharing it all with you, and especially some of these other series that I not necessarily have heard of before or ever read. But it just goes to show what an interesting concept Spawn is as a character, and the world that McFarlane has created is rich and allows for many different kind of ideas, which sort of informs what's happening now, right? This year, 2024, a lot of different Spawn concepts and series that are going to come out. So there's a link in the show notes, everybody, by a gentleman named Blake Whitlow that is the official reading order we're using for the Spawn Daily podcast. So you can go and click there if you want to know what's coming up, or if you're having trouble following along. So with that being said, let's go ahead and dive into issue 81, covered by Capullo, Barry Macbeth, right? Or is it Hamlet? I always get the two confused. Either way, very Shakespearean, I'll say, as he's holding the skull and looking at it. So as we look to the credits on the inside front cover, this issue is entitled Devil Inside. Just like last issue, it says plot by Todd McFarlane and Brian Holguin, and Holguin is getting all the credit for the story. So it sort of seems like when Holguin first took over as the writer, McFarlane was there as kind of a co-pilot, and now he's sort of taken a step back and probably, kind of directing, if you will, the broad strokes of the story, but really leaving it to Holguin to flesh out the story beats and handle the scripting and that sort of stuff. So definitely seems to be working. I'm really enjoying this kind of era of Spawn. I know Spawn gets a bad rap, especially the early issues, for being poorly written, but and this is as good as anything certainly that was coming out at the time. I think this is we're right around 1999, so yeah, it feels a little late 90s, and sometimes we can get some hokey dialogue, or we can get some slang that's a little cringe, but that's not really any different than any other comic of the era. So, as far as the art goes, top notch, no doubt. This is Greg Capullo at the height of his powers on Spawn. Danny Mickey's handling the inks. Tom Warzykowski, as always, copy editor and letterer. We've got Dan Kemp and Brian Haverland handling the colors. So, as we dive into this issue, we're actually out in Long Island. We see this young boy sneaking out in the middle of the night to out of his bedroom, past his parents watching TV, into his dad's study, picks the lock on his desk, and gets out his pistol, his revolver. So, this isn't wildly out of character for a kid this age being fascinated with guns and what have you. Whether it's more true now than it was back then, I can't venture to guess, but things you're not supposed to have always hold a certain allure for a young teenage boy. So not a big surprise that he would be doing this, but unfortunately for him, we have a shadowy figure that's peeking in to his window as he's checking out the gun and is seemingly enamored by it. So the next day, we see the boy and his family in church, and he all of a sudden, well, first of all, I should say that we're told that he's a very good kid. He was always very polite. He did well in school. He's quiet. He never caused a lot of trouble. And so when this event happens, it's about to go down, nobody can really understand, why it happens. So all of a sudden he feels this kind of electricity go through his body. He feels, this kind of burning, in his limbs and what have you. And then all of a sudden he stands up, he pulls the gun out, and he shoots the priest right there in the middle of mass. So, people are screaming and running and what have you. And, here's this kid, seemingly a good kid, very innocent, who's just killed this priest in the middle of mass. So certainly a very shocking event. Now we know that he's not necessarily the one that's behind his actions, because we see on the following page the ghost of Billy Kincaid, right? The hint that was dropped at the end of last issue that Billy Kincaid is back. We see him there in his ice cream truck uniform, I guess you'd say, and he's saying, "Oh, that was fun." So clearly he was manipulating this boy, pulling the strings in some way to cause him to attack the priest. He was the shadowy figure that was looking in through the window the night before. So meanwhile in Manhattan, Spawn is sleeping, even though he doesn't need to. But it is one of the ways that it kind of helps him feel like he's human still, or again, I guess you'd say. Sometimes he almost dreams even. But we know he has this new ability to kind of feel events and feel kind of the emotions of Earth. And there's something kind of gnawing on him, this feeling of unease, this feeling of evil, of murder. And he's sensing that killing of the priest. And so it's really shaking him. He's not sure what to think. But he heads out of his lair and he's looking out at the Manhattan skyline, and he's hearing the laughter, this evil laughter. We know it's the laughter of Billy Kincaid. He hasn't quite put that together yet. So meanwhile, at the cop bar that Sam and Twitch like to hang out at, they're sort of struggling not to break their arms, patting themselves on the back for the fantastic job that they've done with solving this recent murder spree. But all of a sudden, with the severed head appearing on their doorstep and them thinking that the exterminator case was over, now they're thinking that maybe it's not. And as they're sitting there drinking, trying to figure out what their next move is, a news report comes on and it talks about the young boy inexplicably killing the priest in church that day. So immediately they realize that it's not over, right? Like so much of what had been done previously with the homeless people being killed seemed to be done by people that really weren't, you weren't, they weren't the type of people you think would kind of flip out and start killing people, including Sarah Frost, who they think was the exterminator killer. So they're pretty worried, that somehow Billy Kincaid is back and he's causing these normally peaceful people, people that wouldn't normally kill others, to commit these horrible crimes. And the other part of that is that, they've gotten a lot of credit for solving this crime. And what's it going to be when it, what's the backlash going to be like when, come to find out, they haven't stopped this murder spree, right? So on the next page, we do get a montage piece, and it kind of sums up who Billy Kincaid is. If you didn't follow Spawn from the beginning, or you haven't been following along with the Spawn Daily, you may need a little bit of a reminder. So We know that the dead body of Billy Kincaid was found in Sam and Twitch's office when they still worked for the NYPD. So that's the connection there. We also know that they were the ones that caught him in the first place, even though they weren't able to charge him with all the murders that he committed. And they obviously weren't very happy when he was committed to a mental institution instead of being sent to prison for life or death for that matter for the death penalty. But he was paroled. He did fool the kind of the head of the institute that he was in that he'd reformed, and he got out, and no sooner was he out than he had, murdered a little girl. So we know he's a really, really bad guy. There's not any other way to say it. And he did appear in the earliest issues. I mean, the issue where he was killed and we saw him strung up in Sam and Twitch's office was issue number 5 of Spawn. So way back at the beginning. So as I said, Sam and Twitch are a little worried about what's going to happen when, they've been hailed as heroes, but now what's going to happen when people realize that this is not over. The person that they thought was the exterminator killer maybe has an accomplice, maybe has a copycat. The killing spree is not over. The bad things are still going to continue to happen. So they know that they're completely screwed, which is bad, but at least the way it's presented by Holguin is with a little levity. Meanwhile, back out on Long Island, the little boy who shot the priest is hiding out. One of his friends is bringing him food, and he's saying he thinks he's losing his mind. He's not sure. He's hearing these voices. He can't believe that he did this. It just doesn't seem like him. So he's just not sure what to do, and this poor kid is really suffering. Then the scene shifts to back to Manhattan, and we see Ethan Krohn, the writer that we were introduced to. This is a lot. I think it was the last issue, may have been the issue before. But he's talking about looking for Spawn and writing his book and writing about this killing spree, and could Spawn be behind it? So yeah, it's clear that he's starting to become more and more fixated on Spawn. And this is all urban rumors and interviews he's done with the homeless and what have you. And the person he's having dinner with says something like, "You're not going all like conspiracy theory X-Files on me, are you?" And his response is, "No, that's all craziness or millennial madness or whatever they're talking about." But if people believe in the nonsense, the hell spawn or what have you, it is a great metaphor for the end times, right? Which again, this is 1999, approaching the end of the century. People are thinking, or not even the end of the century, the end of the millennium. And people are thinking, yeah, maybe it is the end times. But he's heard so many of these rumors, this Ethan Krohn, that he's giving some credence to it. Feels like it's something he should maybe look into. So meanwhile, Spawn and Cagliostro sneak back into the museum. They're doing more research about the mark that they s have seen on these people who've been committing these horrific acts, including the exterminator killer, including Victoria Frost. And Cog says, yeah, he's able to identify it, the serpentine addendum. And basically what he says is, it's a mark that shows up on people's bodies when somebody else has possessed them and caused them to do unspeakably evil acts so that their soul goes to hell. So a person who normally their soul, they're a good person, and their soul would go to heaven in the afterlife. But because they've been possessed, in this case by Billy Kincaid, and have done horrible things, their souls become tainted. And they end up having to go to hell. They end up being condemned for the crimes they're sort of quote unquote tricked into committing. And every soul that goes to hell like that then makes the entity that's possessing the person even more powerful, right? So every time Billy Kincaid manages to corrupt a good person and cause them to commit horrible murder or atrocity or what have you, The soul goes to hell. It's then bound to Billy Kincaid in hell, and Billy Kincaid's powers get stronger. And so Spawn's like, well, how do we stop it? I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? Like, okay, great that we, may know what's going on, but the real question is, how do we stop it? That's the important question. So meanwhile, back on Long Island, this kid is kind of distraught. He doesn't know what to do. He's thinking about how his entire life ended, in those few moments, and he still has the gun with him, and he's distraught. He, 10 hours ago, he was just a little kid, a good kid, full of, hopes and dreams and a future. And now he knows his childhood is over, forever and ever. He's a killer. He's going to be the kid that shot the priest in the middle of mass, no less. So he's, kind of very self-aware here that his life is over. So, meanwhile, Twitch is heading home for the day, and it, actually, instead of stopping at his home, he keeps walking. It's kind of sad. He's thinking, and we get a lot of context about Twitch here. It talks about how he was a math prodigy in school and how he was always able to solve equations, and becoming a detective was just kind of an extension of that, right? He looks at all the variables, all the factors, all the clues, and he's able to put together a formula that leads to the answer. But this time he thought he had the answer, and it turned out the answer was wrong. So now what comes next? And he's afraid to go home because he's got a house full of kids. He's got a wife. Him and Sam, their detective agency, has been struggling. They've been struggling to pay the bills. And he thought with this newfound celebrity from solving the exterminator case, they would get an uptick and get better cases and be able to charge more. And he really would start to be able to provide a better life for his wife and kids. And now all of a sudden, that's not going to be the case, right? This exterminator killer or whoever it is, it's not over. And as more bodies start to pile up, he knows that that windfall that he saw coming his way is not going to come to pass. On top of which, his wife was so proud of him. His wife, Helen, was so proud of him for having solved this case. How does he look her in the eye and say, "Hey, it's not over. We didn't really solve it." He can't face her. He can't face her or his kids. So he keeps walking, probably heading to his office would be my guess. Meanwhile, back in the church where Billy, or sorry, where this boy killed the priest, he's there. He's praying to God. He's asking for forgiveness. He's saying, "I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I didn't mean it. It wasn't me. Well, it was me, but like not the real me. And I would do anything to take it back. But I know it's too late. Please forgive me and take care of my folks." I mean, it's really tragic here. And this kid commits suicide right in front of the crucifix there in the church. And great art by Capullo here to show like just the despair, the tears rolling down his cheeks. I mean, again, trying to confess, trying to make amends, and really quite sad. You're told as a Catholic, I was raised Catholic, that if you forgive your sins, you will be forgiven and you will be able to go to heaven. But you're also told that suicide is the gravest sin you could commit. So he's probably absolved for killing the priest, but he's not absolved for killing himself because, once you're dead, once you've killed yourself, you're no longer able to ask for forgiveness because you're dead. But just a tragic, tragic turn of events. Now, once his body's discovered, the news descends there and there's a candlelight vigil, not just for the priest that was killed, but for this little boy as well. Trying to make sense of why this little boy, Lucas is his name, why he killed himself. By all accounts, he was a very bright, good-hearted kid, honor student. He volunteered at the church, and the police haven't been able to determine any motive. And now the boy is dead, and they may never know why he killed the priest. We know why. It was he didn't do it, right? It was Billy Kincaid. So of course, Spawn hears about all this. He heads to the church. And he's trying to maybe look for clues, maybe get an idea of, why this little boy killed himself, why he killed the priest, first of all, and why he then killed himself. When Spawn arrives, he has the answer. He knows for sure now, because Sam and Twitch haven't told him at this point. about the box and the note from Billy. So Sam and Twitch are aware. Now this is Spawn becoming aware. As he's standing there in the church, a voice says to him, "Hey, care to make a donation? I'm starting a collection." And of course, it's double meaning there, right? Collection in a church usually means some kind of, passing the plate for a charitable donation. But what Kincaid is referring to is actually the collection of souls that he has behind him there. So we see Sarah Frost in her robe, all scratched up. We see the man who shot at Sam and Twitch in the alley, former criminals, his first day out of prison. Course, we see young Lucas there, Billy with his arm around him. These are the souls that are bound to Billy Kincaid. These are the good souls. Although you could make an argument, maybe the guy that had been in prison who had just gotten out that shot at Sam and Twitch, maybe his soul was going to go one way or the other. But Dr. Frost, by all accounts, a very caring, good doctor, cared enough about her fellow man to open the outreach center in Rat City. And so, yeah, Billy really corrupted her, caused her to kill her soul, ended up going to hell. And then Lucas, obviously, in this issue, we know he shot the priest. So terrifying. Billy is back, and he even still has the ice cream scooper and popsicle stick sticking out of him that Spawn stabbed him with. And interesting that Holguin goes to this, right? Because we hadn't seen Billy in a long time. I think since the Alan Moore issue of Spawn, which was in the teens. I want to say it was like issue 14. So it's great that Holguin is going back and mining this, right? Because we know that Billy was turned into a Hellspawn himself, that he was combined with the symbiote suit, which is interesting because we don't see a symbiote suit here, but we do see the chains. We know he obviously has powers, some sort of necroplasmic powers, but not in the same way that Spawn does, right? Like he's a ghost. You see the shimmering there in this art from McFarlane, or sorry, from Capullo. So we know he's like normal people aren't going to be able to see him, right? He is a ghost. He's haunting, Spawn, if you will. He's able to possess these people. He's able to push them to give into their deepest, darkest desires or deepest, darkest fears, things that maybe they don't even have a desire to do them, but they're just afraid that, if I snap one day, I could kill somebody or what have you. So, Kincaid, 100% evil without question. And in a way, it's good to have him back because it's really, it goes back to the earliest issues of Spawn, like I said. So that's always great to go back and mine from the early issues and provide more context and what have you. And it is a supernatural foe that Spawn's going to face that he's not facing Malbolgia. He's not facing Seraphim, angels like Angela or Kimberly or what have you, things we've seen before. This is it's between that. It's between like a street level threat or mob threat and those really powerful entities that I just mentioned. This falls somewhere in between. So we know that Spawn would have a very hard time winning a fight against all the Seraphim, all the hosts of heaven, heavenly hosts, I guess is what we would say. We know he's not powerful enough to take on Malbolgia, at least not at this point, although Cagliostro may believe that he can get to that point. But now we're talking about something that's in between, right? Like it's more powerful than a street level, mob enforcer, an overt kill or something like that, but it's not to the point of a Malbolgia or Seraphim or what have you. So let's see what Spawn can do against Billy and against his powers. On the other hand, this isn't a character that I necessarily ever wanted to see again because he is so despicable and so evil and so disturbing. But again, I'll give credit to McFarlane and Holguin for bringing in some ideas and some characters that make you uncomfortable. At least they're making you feel something. So the art throughout the issue, I pointed it out several times where it really was amazing. This final page is great. The page where Billy's looking up at the cross with the tears, I think is also very, very well done. As I said, like also the montage page. I want to call that page out particularly as well, where Sam and Twitch are sitting in the cop bar and they They're kind of not necessarily reminiscing, but recapping, if you will, who Billy Kincaid is. And within the context of the story, anybody who wasn't on board with Spawn, issues 3, 4, 5, what have you, when Billy showed up before, at least you're getting context here. So, yeah, a lot of credit to Holguin for doing that. And yeah, overall, just really strong art throughout. Great job by Capullo. So, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate everybody joining as always. Don't forget, if you're listening to the audio only version, I really would appreciate you heading over to YouTube and subscribing. I'm getting real close to 500 subscribers when I think I should be able to monetize. I think I need like 14 more. Was going along pretty decently, but now it seems to have slowed back down. So again, less than 20 subscribers so I can monetize and help defray some of the costs of the podcast. So really appreciate that, everybody. So be sure if you head over there, subscribe, ring the notification bell, leave some comments, let me know what you thought about this issue. Let me know about what you think about the official return of Billy Kincaid here, him returning as a spirit or a ghost, if you will, the ability to manipulate spirits and cause people to do certain things. Conversely, if you are joining us on YouTube and you're already subscribed and you want to go back and listen to some of the 2000 plus episodes we have on the audio only feed, you can do that by going to your favorite podcasting app or podcasting platform, doing a search for The Comic Source and hit subscribe, and you'll have access to all of that back matter. So that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Appreciate you joining as always, and we will talk to you next time. You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.